One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Gaming podcast. I'm your host Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Good afternoon.
And Josh Brown.
Good afternoon.
Chaps, we were going to do a big old talk on the state of the Microsoft Bethesda acquisition and what might happen in the future. And literally, as we were setting out to record, Microsoft Xbox put out a big statement thing welcoming Bethesda to the family. And then VentureBeat published a thing saying that on Thursday they're going to be doing a public conference thing. Ben, what you got your money out for, mate?
It's a lot of 50 quids were exchanged today, so I'm just trying to celebrate that.
Just showerings of them. But yeah, so they said, like, obviously the acquisition has gone through legally, it's all been accepted and everything. And then, yeah, VentureBeat said that on Thursday, March 11th, we're going to be getting a public event where Microsoft are going to be disclosing exactly what's happening with their Bethesda acquisition, which assumedly will finally be the addressing the nail on the head, the elephant in the room, whatever, of what the hell is happening with exclusives. So we just thought we'd just sort of do a general predictions cast on what the hell is going to happen with Xbox across the rest of the year and general thoughts on Bethesda being swallowed up by Microsoft, seeing that as if you look at the rest of the slate for Xbox, there's very little for the rest of this year until something like Halo. And I did pull a quote from the chief financial officer for Xbox, Tim Stewart, from last November, where he sort of touched on exclusive stuff, but I'll get back to that in a sec. Mr. Benroy, what's your thoughts on what's going to go down?
I predict everything is going to go to Game Pass. There we go. That's my prediction. I'm done. I'll see you later. It's exciting because one thing, Microsoft just don't have anything, so why not just buy things instead of, you know, creating new IP? Let's just buy everything up, sort of thing. Just gobble it.
I did, like, when everyone says, like, oh yeah, they've now got, like, their first party lineup is like 23 studios, and it's like, is it though? Because I get that, but it doesn't feel like they've homegrown 23 studios.
Yeah, because I'll be interested to see, like, because what we've got, we've still got like two. Presumably, we're going to have like a Doom 3, Wolfenstein 3 must be around the corner somewhere. Mm. So when those two franchises sort of, like, if we stick to conventional trilogy methods, which I think they were, what's going to come next from them? Like, I want to see what's going to happen with like a Starfield and the Elder Scrolls. Like, where are they going to, you know, be timed exclusives? Are they going to go away? Are they going to be everywhere? Like, I think they're the two big hitters. And after that, that will determine the course of, like, the ship to come, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Josh, you in the same sort of boat?
Yeah, I think so, man. For me, everything's gone exclusive. Everything that they can make exclusive without pissing people off is going exclusive, because, like Benroy said, there's too many 50 quids at stake, you know what I mean? And whether it's, you know, homegrown exclusives or whether it's synthetically bought in after the fact exclusives and artificially made, it doesn't matter because it all accomplishes the same job. And if you get big brands like The Elder Scrolls or Fallout or Doom or Wolfenstein or Indiana Jones or whatever tied to your platform, I just feel like they're going to do it. And I feel like the only reason they haven't confirmed that so far is because they legally, technically couldn't, because they weren't really allowed to lay out their plans for Bethesda until this deal had gone through. Mm. But now that it officially has, I imagine at this reveal, we're just going to get them coming out saying, yep, Starfield is coming to exclusively to Xbox, and it might be out this year, might be out next year, but you know, you're gonna have to pick up one of our machines to actually play it.
So I'll throw in this little comment from Chief Financial Officer for Xbox, Tim Stewart. He said this during a Interactive Entertainment virtual conference back in November, so that was 2 months after the deal was initially announced. And he wouldn't talk about exclusives. He sort of like, just, it's all very vague and that kind of thing. But his comment on, you know, what's gonna happen with Bethesda in relation to Xbox going forward, he said that we want that content, or whatever content you can think of in the long run, to be either first or better or best, or pick your differentiated experience on our platforms. We will want Bethesda content to show up as the best on our platforms. And he also made a big point about Game Pass. He said that as long as games show up best in Game Pass, that's what we want to see. So I think that's a big old thing, because I'm like, well, is that, do you then have the developers like siphoning off like DLC packs? Like, what would you have that's a meaningful extension of those core games, Elder Scrolls, Doom, whatever, that then makes you stick with Xbox rather than, and then also how do you come up with that without completely making it so that the Nintendo versions, the Sony versions are fundamentally so much worse?
I think there's a few things you can do. And I think one is just what they're kind of doing now, which is they can get their marketing Xbox related and they can say that it plays best on Xbox Series X. You know, it's the world's most powerful console or whatever. And use that kind of marketing to be like, Fallout 5, Elder Scrolls 6 will look and perform better if you get it on Xbox. And then you're not kind of taking away the value from the other games in terms of like content or DLC or anything like that. But also Game Pass, man, if something comes to Game Pass, like day and day one, like that's a huge win for Microsoft, because, you know, if you're a consumer who only, you know, buys a big game now and again, if you're looking at Starfield, or if you're looking at Elder Scrolls 6, and your choices are pay £70 to get it on Sony's machine or buy into Game Pass and get it quote unquote free. Like, I think that's what a lot of the market will pursue, who, like I said, the more casual market who are looking at it and thinking, well, I can get the subscription and get these games for free, I'm going to do that. So I think if they kind of want to make sure something plays better on Xbox or gives it more of an appeal if it's not exclusive, I think having it day one in Game Pass and being able to say, well, it runs better at 60 frames per second, 4K or whatever on our machine, I think those are the two things that they'll lean on.
But those be the things that, like, because both of you guys, you do a lot of trophy hunting and stuff. Like, would you actually like sort of switch over and get something on Xbox as long as it's included in the Game Pass price?
With the trophy thing, I think like I would get a Wolfenstein 3 on PlayStation 5 if I was allowed, if they let me do that, because like I've got that thing in my brain, like, oh, I've got the other two on PlayStation, I want them all there, sort of thing. Right. But I'm cool with saving £70 for some trophies. I can go and play some other games. To be fair, like, as I said before, if you don't buy like what, two or three games, put that money into a Series S and then just £10 a week from there, and then I feel like I'm personally making money from this deal if they all go to Game Pass, which they will, won't they? Mm-hmm. Because they're Microsoft's own thing. And then think of how many Bethesda games that the possibility of them coming out, like, and then just think far future, like Indiana Jones on Game Pass, like I do think everything will come to Game Pass. I think the best way they could do is like go a year exclusive or something like that. I would pull I'd pull out the big guns for, and not waste it on something like a Tomb Raider, and then just basically sort of like throw that. Not that Tomb Raider was bad, but I don't think that Tomb Raider was the sort of hill to die on for Microsoft.
Yeah, it's not like turning heads. Yeah,
yeah, but like when you've got like, say, Doom, Wolfenstein, Fallout, Evil Within 74, if it ever comes out, all those sort of things, I feel like these are the ones that are going to get people to sort of either make the jump, or if you just say, do the math, two or three games, that'll buy you that's close to buying you a console, if not like the cheaper option. Game Pass Ultimate is like £10 with gold wrapped in a month.
So, I think so.
And then that's my Gears 5 tax as it is anyway. So
it is an insane amount of money. Yeah. Like, I mean, sorry, I'm saying insane value for money. Like the amount of stuff you get for that monthly subscription, obviously Xbox is relying on that so much. Like I just looked up their subscriber numbers. They have 18 million Game Pass subs. So even if you knock it down a bit by the monthly amounts that people are paying, that is a stupid amount of money, really.
And they want to keep that money. I think that's only going to go up with this deal, sort of thing, and it should only go up with this deal. And I feel like that this is the biggest way to get the next hurdle, you know, big users over, is like, well, It's like a Disney where we just buy the big thing. Let's buy the Star Wars, or let's just buy the Bethesda, and then we're going to get some bigger things over. Because also, you think Game Pass, like, that's got EA access in it as well. So that's all the EA games go in there. Eventually, FIFA eventually cycles in there. I'm not sure about Madden because I've never even looked at Madden. I'm sorry about that. But like Jedi Fallen Order was on there, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And that helped them reach, 21 million players, that sort of thing. So Game Pass is only expanding, but then it's like, do we get to the point where like a Netflix where it expands so much and then it sort of like crumbles a bit, or does it become Disney Plus where it just everything just rolls into it, and then they'll do some weird pricing methods down the line?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing with the Disney Plus like analogy, or like on the cusp of like everybody having their own streaming service, which obviously is starting to come into fruition more and more. Like, what do you guys think of that future where everything is just tied to a subscription service, and even the third parties maybe pay for a few months on a certain service and then go across to someone else, and the whole way that games get rolled out is tied to monthly subscription models?
It depends what it is, I suppose. I think that could be healthy for smaller games that might not get like the big audience that the likes of a Bethesda title would, you know, so that it gets the chance to appear on PlayStation Now for a few months, and it gets people interested for that period of time. Then it shows up on Xbox, and it's like, wow, I didn't get a chance to play that before. I can try it now. And if there are licensing deals tied to that, and the developers are getting paid, and it gives more publicity to these smaller games, I think it could be interesting. I don't think we'll ever get to the point where we are just full on in the streaming sphere where everything revolves around that, because even in the movie space, we're not at that point yet. You know, it's been accelerated a little bit by everything going on in the world, but even now, you know, we've got streamers on the one hand, movie theaters on the other, and we're always like having this push and pull and this compromise between how we as viewers and players or whatever kind of want to experience this content. So I think at the moment it's just a nice wealth of options. Like, if you want to just get Game Pass and, you know, try anything that's on there, get the new games that are coming to it, like, you can do that. But also, if you only buy a couple of games a year, and you could also opt to do that and just splash £70 on like the latest Call of Duty or the latest Elder Scrolls or whatever, and you can still live in that ecosystem. So I don't think they're mutually exclusive, and going forward we will definitely see a push towards streaming, but I don't think it's ever going to outright replace the current model.
That's what I was going to say as well, is like the idea of like ownership. Like, I don't know if you guys have the same feeling towards like having a access to a monthly subscription, like having access to a monthly subscription thing that gives you that library, but you don't really fully own it. You can't take it away. You can't keep it. There's no sort of preservation aspect to it. Like when Red Dead Redemption 2 went on to Game Pass, like it was only on there for a few months. And it's like, if you were halfway through that story, it gets taken off, like titles get rotated through. Obviously with Bethesda, those things would get locked down going forward. But do you guys have that same sort of feeling of like, I don't own this game because all I'm doing is paying the monthly subscription thing for it?
I think I'm cycling out of the I need to own the actual game. Like, I see, if you're watching behind me, I've got all my crap there. Like, but at the same time where I'm playing a few things on now, and like Game Pass has helped me also like come to like terms with this, and I like rent a bunch of movies. I don't like buying movies. I don't like buying a thing. Like, if you were to buy a movie on PlayStation, which you can't do soon, or buy, I had to buy an episode of Louis Theroux on Amazon to watch it, because like there was no other option for me. I couldn't just stream it on there or rent it. And I couldn't go to iPlayer because I'm not paying the blood money for that sort of thing monthly. And yeah, so I'm coming to terms with it at the same time, but then like with a Red Dead, when it cycles out, then you could just buy it and pick it up. I get the thing where the cheap market, the Wild West of games, where with all the physical stuff is like it feels like it's eroding away year by year, but then like that just feels like time's changing. But then also you look at the sale, there's 47 sales at the moment on like PlayStation Store. Like there's like so many crossover, big in Japan or this and that, and they're so like, you get these games for like £5 sometimes, like that's a deal in itself. True. But then you get like, would that ever happen to a Call of Duty where I just bought like Modern Warfare, the new one, secondhand for like £25, and it's only just gone down to that? So that you feel like that would have already gone down. So it's a mixture, really. You can't say until we see it, and then it's the dark future where now everything's going to stay at £70 forever. Sorry.
Part of me just thinks that, like, going forward, because obviously you have PlayStation Now, which I feel has kind of like waxed and waned. Like, it's in like a decent enough place now. Like, it's got a decent catalog of stuff. Well, don't you guys?
It is, but then like if you do a thing like if you put a YouTube video on while you're playing something and then it warns you, sometimes it'll warn you going, ah, this is getting a bit leery, you need to stop this, right. Or it just goes, ah, sorry. And if you're playing a game like Metal Gear Solid where you haven't saved for a while, you just lost that progress because it decided
to... Oh, does it bottom out altogether? I thought it just went really biddy.
I've had it one time before where it just goes, 2 weeks, sorry, bye. But that was because I think that was my fault for putting stress on my own internet. But then after that, it's been reasonably fine where it warns you, but I've learned to save as much as possible.
But that's always like a whole separate thing with the streaming, but like it got in terms of like a game being dependent on a connection, like with Virgin Media being the holders of that. Like it's just, it'd be very rare that that's actually going to stay up the whole time through a game. I was going to mention before when you talked about the whole value for money side of it, like Sony's obviously doing the complete opposite. Like, you know, they're already doubling down on exclusives and like they're like hiking the price up for it. Whereas Microsoft are like getting all these exclusives, buying up all these exclusives, but the value for money side of it is way more obvious. Like it's not like they're trying to give you a £70 individual title. What's your thoughts on that stuff, like the monetization side of it? Like obviously there's all the whole conversations around like how is Game Pass even profitable, but if you look at their subscriber numbers, it seems like it is raking in an insane amount of money every month. But Microsoft don't really put many details out there, or there's not many conversations coming from devs on how they get paid for Game Pass. It just stuff just goes up there, and like, you know, it's like assuming that is the future of the industry, but like you just have to assume that it is a worthwhile model both now and going forward.
Yeah, it's a good point. Like, we don't really know the intricacies of how developers get paid when their stuff is on Game Pass, like you said. And I don't want it to become a kind of like Spotify situation where Spotify, like on the one hand for music fans, is a great service because you pay a monthly subscription. I personally think their infrastructure is really strong. You get the great algorithm that recommends you all this music. It is great for you who's buying into it. But for a artist, it's just terrible.
It's like a penny every 100 players or something.
The ad revenue for the streams is just not worth it. And like, it's not fair on them. You know what I mean? And they have to find support through merch or gigs or whatever it is. And I hope we don't get to the point where it's something similar where we're just viewing all of these games as content and not as games. And even though it is a better value proposition to do it on Game Pass or to buy into Game Pass if you're a player or whatever, I still do think there's something cool in like the big kind of like drop. And for me, I haven't got out of that mentality, whether or not it's good or bad, of wanting to own games. Like I want to get excited and put some money down and own it and look forward to it rather than just have it be a thing that's included, a bit of content in an entire library that I have access to. And then I just kind of like siphon it out. For me, well, I'm looking forward to like the big release.
Yeah, that's another thing. I mean, it's like, it's kind of like a side point, but like for the sake of like, like that whole thing of like, here's a library of titles every month, you quote unquote own like 200 or 500 games, like right there. I don't know, that for me creates this almost like paralysis through choice where like everything is as viable as everything else. Nothing stands out. And therefore it's the same thing on like Netflix or Prime or whatever. You can dip into something for a bit and then you jump out of it again, as opposed to the financial incentive to see something all the way through because you spent a premium amount on it. And I don't know where I come down on that fully, but I wonder how many games I maybe wouldn't have like got all the way through if I hadn't spent money on them in the first place, or if they weren't individual purchases. If they were just tied to a monthly thing, then it's super easy to just hop out of that and be like, ah, you know, there's like 400 other things that I can go to.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
It's weird because, like, this happened in a big way with, like, WWE when they got the network. Like, I used to just grab, a couple of DVDs all the time from, a CEX. Like, I'm going to grab, a Royal Rumble 99 and 98 in the pack. But now, as soon as, everything they ever owned was on the network for £10 a month, and then you would sort of, watch half a match and not even bother watching the whole thing because you would just watch the whole show when you bought it as a disc. But then, I'm going to skip through and go to those bits there. And then, now I live in a world, I have DVD. I haven't watched an actual DVD in years now.
Same.
I have Con Air on DVD, but Con Air's on Disney Plus for some reason. So, do I just snap that in half? Is Con Air ever going to leave Disney Plus? Who knows? Why is Con Air on Disney Plus alongside the Aristocats for some reason? And then with Game Pass, I finally went and played Dead Space 3. I only went to the end because I'm going to finish it. But my God, was that game a horrible slog towards the end? I hate that game. I hate Dead Space 3, by the way. And then
most people do.
Yeah, and I haven't really done the thing where I picked up a game and thrown it away yet as such. I've sort of taken long gaps between them. Mm-hmm. But I can't see getting to that point because I think so much more is involved in going into making games. It's such making film and TV is obviously a big fee as it is, but I think games come in hot until the very end, whereas film TV, it's basically filmed and then it goes through post for a while and you sort of know the trajectory of that, whether it's going to be it's going to come out fine or not. So yeah, there's a lot more involved and there's a lot more money on the table with games, where I think this is going to be so much slower. It's moving turning the Titanic, and we'll be much older and probably a lot more gray before the dark sort of future with the Cylons take all our content happens.
For a handy monthly fee. I think we should talk about something else that might happen, I guess not necessarily on Thursday, but what the merger of Xbox and Bethesda or Microsoft and Bethesda can greenlight going forward. Because one of the things that came out of the initial talking points around last September was now that Xbox own Obsidian, they can do the New Vegas style follow-up that we've always wanted. Is there anything that comes to mind? That can be one thing, but do you think they'll just greenlight all those fan-based projects that people have been wanting for so long, and then they tag it on? Hey, by the way, if you want that, it's free with Game Pass and it's only on Xbox. Is that just this insanely obvious open goal that they just need to do?
It depends how much the studios have moved on, because for as much as we are absolutely wanting to do, wanting a New Vegas too, Obsidian, they've got so many plates spinning at the moment. They've already got games that they've announced with Microsoft, and I don't know whether they'd be willing to then jump back onto this fan favorite project, even if it is, much sought after and kind of fan favorite. I think the ones that they'll come out swinging with are ones that are already in production. So I think we're going to get Starfield announced and as an exclusive and probably a date. I think we're going to get more updates on the Indiana Jones game, maybe something about Wolfenstein 3. And it'll be kind of things that are already in production that they can kind of take and then claim as their own rather than starting from scratch. Because we've got so many studios starting from scratch. Like, they have bought people, they have built some from the ground up that we kind of know what they're working on, but like, we don't really know much about Perfect Dark. We don't really know much about like Fable. These are things really early on, whereas Bethesda already have a lot of games in production that they can just kind of pluck out and go, yep, these are ours now. Well, you're looking forward to them. It's coming out this year, next year, whatever.
That's like a whole other thing as well. As do you trust Microsoft? Let's say that, like, you know, Game Pass totally profitable. Obviously, it's doing very well right now. That's one of the old, like, almost like unsaid things. Is like, what if it's not entirely profitable, but they don't care right now because they're just like they're just sinking cost in it until it manages to plateau at some point. But do you trust Microsoft long term, Xbox long term, to, you know, greenlight the right kind of projects? Like, with this amount of you know, IP under their belt, like, will we get an Evil Within 3, Dishonored 3, like these sort of like lower tier, B tier, quote unquote, franchises? Because obviously they're going to continue Doom for a long time and Elder Scrolls and everything, but like, they've not, I don't know, for as much, like, you know, you see like the creative, like the things that EA will cancel, the things that a 2K will cancel, and Xbox canceled Scalebound because they just couldn't, like, you know, Phil Spencer was the one who said they just couldn't bring it together. But with this many different IPs under their new umbrella kind of thing, it's like, do you trust the creative side of Xbox to run them the right way?
The Don Matrick days are over, right? And unless Phil Spencer is out of there and gone, like, he stayed, like, take them out by his word, but he said for a long time that this is his final form. He doesn't want to do anything else. He wants to stay in the game sphere. He doesn't want to go and like take over Microsoft Word at some point. Like, this is what he wants. And if he stays, if he stays in this position for however long, mm-hmm. and spearheads it the way it goes, then yeah, sure, fine. I think is if we get another body in there, or if for some reason it was drastically tanking money, then I think we should remain some sort of, like, you know, we should always be wary of companies, because companies aren't our friends. They want your money, right?
Well, that's the thing I'm waiting on, right? Like, something to snap back after all this goodwill.
But like, say Microsoft Word was like 100, remember when Word was like £100? Now it's like, I think they try to force it on you, sort of thing. Like, I feel like it's if this, there was a lot of rumblings like, is my Xbox going to be sold off? What's happening with it? But now I think you make the $7 billion deal. This is big dick energy money. We're like, sorry, we're in it for the long run and this is going to be fine. And don't worry, we'll just be sitting over here, just, you know, drinking our water. And we'll be all good. I don't know. At the same time, it's a company, like, take it by the word, but I feel like, you know, given 5 years of like the honeymoon period, and then we'll all be nickel and dime for saying,
right?
Maybe.
I was going to say as well. Like, yeah, do you think the same thing, Josh?
I don't know, maybe, man. Like, I trust what Microsoft has done over the past few years. I think they've greenlit like interesting projects, and I like the developers that they've bought. Everyone who they have bought seems to have responded really well and have nothing but nice things to say, you know, about like the projects they've been able to suddenly, you know, pursue and stuff. But yeah, like Ben Roy says, maybe at one point this might eventually kind of like snap back and the honeymoon period might wear off, and then we might start seeing, you know, just a layers of focus on kind of like profits and stuff. But I don't know, like, maybe I'm giving Phil Spencer personally too much like leeway.
He's a very nice
too
man.
Much of the benefit of the doubt, but he does seem like a very nice man. And I can't fault just how much he's righted the ship over the years. Like, you know, there really were these worries that, you know, Xbox was just going to get sold off because it just wasn't working for Microsoft. You know, it's like a drop in the bucket for them. And ultimately, it might not have been worth it if it wasn't doing very well. But he's managed to turn around public opinion and innovate in a space that is quite difficult to innovate in from a business perspective. You know, like introducing Game Pass, making all these deals, doing things that you would usually associate with the film and TV world, and bringing that mentality over here for better and for worse. But when it comes to like the games themselves, I hope we get to see Evil Within 3. I hope we get to see, you know, whatever, these quote unquote smaller games that aren't big behemoths like Doom or Wolfenstein or Elder Scrolls or Fallout. And I hope we get, ultimately, while I want that as a fan, I just hope the developers get the chance to make essentially what they want. If they've got any creative ideas, I hope they aren't beholden to past franchises. I hope they can move forward, innovate. And hopefully the Microsoft money machine, the absolute bank of 50 quids that they're sitting on, can contribute to quite a lucrative you know, deal for the developers themselves, who can now have the resources to just go mad and make whatever the
hell
they want.
I would hope for. I would hope that there's, because there is this body of cash now, that they're not like beholden to the same sort of conversations that we heard about between the likes of, you know, like BioWare and EA, or like, you know, insert X creative company talking to X, you know, financial person at the top, and just being grilled over like, well, is it actually going to work? Is this thing actually going to be the, you know, the money maker that we need it to be, kind of thing? You would assume that the amount of money Game Pass brings in frees all that stuff up.
Let's not forget that they tried to put the price of gold, and then everyone lost their minds, and they were sorry, and then they put it
we've got to try. Everyone,
but like, I reckon Game Pass at one point probably gets like a 15 sort of quid sort of mark. Like, I feel like even that, still for what's on there, that's still for what will be on there, it's still a great price. But yeah, like, they're so reactive in that sense, and like, they're not as soulless as like an EA, where they'll just lie and go, well, this is how the industry is now because we don't want to do X anymore, and then, oh, we did this one thing, actually it is actually what you all wanted. At this, you will want the single player, don't you? You don't want the boring mindless Anthem where you just go around and we make it up at the last minute.
You want things that will actually stick with you for longer than 10 minutes.
Never trust, because EA, they'll just cycle out a new few androids, and then they'll be like, oh, this is what they want now, sort of thing, in their robot voice. So yeah, just ignore EA and just, yeah. But I feel like,
Those business interests, like, I have to imagine that someone like a Phil Spencer is probably having daily conversations with the people who want to change those numbers. Or as, hey, if we just increase this by, you know, a pound, one digit, it brings us in another million. Why aren't we doing that?
Yeah, like, there must be someone at Microsoft going, hey, man, why haven't we made a FIFA yet, sort of thing? And then you go, well, we can't make the FIFA because, and then they have to explain to some, like, the people that are just the money. And then so far, like, I feel like they've all gotten over their Rise, Son of Rome phase and sort of thing like that. And also, I want to know, personally, why has Dead Rising 3 never come to PlayStation, and why is it still £1 million? Like, what is going on with that game, and what are they doing with that? Why is that game so expensive, and why is it not on Game Pass? This is what I want to know. This is my personal thing there.
Everywhere I didn't even realize that. That must be something relating to the way Capcom made the deal, maybe, in the first place.
But then why that one game? Every other game, like Rise Son of Rome, I think, is on Game Pass. But then, like, say, like, Dead Rising 4 is on everything, and that's a piece of garbage. But number three, what has happened to that, Just tell me.
I don't know. I didn't even realize that, but I would assume that, I'd assume Capcom have some sort of agency in that. I guess, as closing thoughts, I mean, they've said that according to the VentureBeat report, the Thursday thing is literally like a financial style public conference, just outlining various, you know, business-based mandates that will be happening going forward. It's not going to be a place to show off new titles, which I don't expect to see. But I guess closing thoughts on general thoughts on where Xbox are now on the cusp of acquiring Bethesda fully, what do you guys want to see from them from the rest of this year? Like, they very much seem to be happy just sitting back and going, like, we don't care about exclusives. We're making more than enough money. Halo will be with you by the end of the year, and we're mostly going to sit 2021 out. Fable will be with you next year, 2023, whatever. Like, are you guys, like, cool with that? Or is that, like, because for me, I think they're in an interesting place where I can see exactly why you would just rest on your laurels at this point. But I just wish they had more. I love when The Medium came out. It was, oh my God, it's an actual Xbox exclusive. That's cool. Let's all talk about it. But we're not going to have another one of those conversations. It's all going to be Game Pass conversations for the rest of the year.
I think, you know, the place they're in now, I think they're, like, Sony as well, almost in this holding pattern. I don't think we're going to see any, like, major surprise announcements for games coming out this year. You know, I think the focus will be on Halo, and that's fine. But I hope that after this acquisition, they're now in a place where they can actually show off all of the building that they've done over the past few years. You know, we've talked for ages and ages about how they're acquiring all these studios, how they're putting developers to work, how they've got all of these wheels, you know, turning, but we haven't seen much from them. We've had a few cinematic teasers, we've had a few bits and bobs here and there. This year, now that they've been bolstered by this, which you imagine, like I said, Bethesda has already had games in production, I think they've got to come out at E3 in particular with just, like, a stunning show where they're like, this is what Bethesda's working on, this is what Machine Games is working on, this is what we've got Obsidian on, this is what we've got, you know, Double Fine on, or whatever, whoever it is, and just kind of reel off everything they've been working on over the past year to get people excited for 2022 and beyond, and then, you know, let that goodwill and let Halo kind of, like, see the rest of 2021 out. Because for me, the thing that I'm waiting for is an announcement that Starfield or Elder Scrolls or whatever, even Doom or Evil Within 3 is exclusive, and that'll be the thing. That'll be the thing that makes me buy an Xbox Series X. Like, that's what I'm waiting for.
You said it was going to be Ori, my friend, and it's not going to be that, is it?
Ori's like a nice little symptom of it. Ori is a cool little game I can play once I've got into it. But, you know, a big drop like that, even like if they show off Obsidian's game and that looks like incredible, like a proper gameplay reveal, I just need those reasons to actually try to find this machine. And if they come out swinging with a great E3 because of this, then I think that's a job well done. I think that's a good year for them.
I thought that they would have had that energy back at launch. I thought they would, like, you know, like you said, they've mentioned it for so long, buying up all these different teams and even like buying, like, is it Undead Studios, the people that make Undead Labs, State of Decay, things like that. I thought they would like come out the gates with that. Oh, you know, we've got like 10 projects in the works from all these, like, you know, trusted developers, and we've just got all this Bethesda stuff, and here's everything else. Benro, what's your thoughts on just what do you want from Xbox going forward? Because me and you both adopted the series system straight away, and like, I love my Series X, but there is very little exclusive to play on.
I mean, yeah, this taking all the world things aside, temper your expectations because of that. I mean, you just need to show a bit of a sizzle reel and say what they're doing. But I feel like we need to, at this point, see some actual hard, like, gameplay of certain games that are rumbling around. Like, say, if we don't see some Halo footage at this point, what's like actual proper, like, you know, gameplay or something? It more than screenshots and more than that thing that we saw. Craig's birth back last year.
I don't think you'll see Halo until literally launch day at this point. It just feels like they're hiding it until it's completely pristine.
Yeah, at the same time, you just got to remember, this is the company that tried to buy Nintendo, and so, you know, they can pretty much do what they want if they throw enough around. But, like, at the same time, I would like to see some hard sort of, like, you know, gameplay of something, and some announcements. You kind of have these far-flung Starfield announcements because you feel like they're the next big sort of things where they might turn the tide for certain, like, studios. But at the same time, I need to see something more in the immediate future and not be sort of like, and don't be afraid to then delay, like, say Horizon New Frontier. Is it New Frontier? Forbidden West was secretly delayed and it was probably going to be out by now, sort of thing. Like, I think we all don't just ignore Twitter because that's not real. We all sort of know that what to expect, and just give us some sort of like hard concrete sort of things, like the Indiana Jones announcement. Like, I'm hyped for that. Like, that would have got me to buy an Xbox for see Indy again, and hopefully it's tired Harrison Ford, because that'd be great. But yeah, just
old skin Ford.
Just some announcements, and then a sort of like an idea of something going forward. And maybe like that might help with how quiet it is, even though we know why it's quiet at the moment.
I think everyone's feeling that general weird energy at the minute where it's like, man, we're like, you know, about to be halfway through the third month of the new year, and there's still very little arriving on neither Switch, PS5, Xbox. And I just think anything that sort of maintains that or gives us any sense of like, hey, by the way, this is coming soon, or this is coming in a couple of months, and you didn't even realize we had this ready and this is going to be coming. And I don't know, I miss all those things. I think that just because of last year, the knock-on effect of that is going to delay so much stuff until it's later across this year, something like an E3.
I will say, like, if anyone didn't jump into it, like, if you have an Xbox, download the DLC that came out for Gears 5 in, like, December. If you want, like, an old-school Gears of War campaign, that's, like, a three-hour sort of, like, add-on, one of the best DLCs they've had in ages. Like, that, everyone forgot about that, but just
jump randomly on that. Loving the Gears, just got to throw the Gears in.
I mean, I'm playing it again because of the new season's there. Season 6, let's go, kids.
You're not wrong. If we're talking old-school stuff, I mean, I'm playing GoldenEye, so it's not, there's no real movement.
I'm playing MGS2 on Extreme, so, you know, kill me.
It's got to be done. But yes, let us know what you think down in the comments below. What are your predictions for the Xbox acquisition of Bethesda? What do you want to see them do? And what do you think will happen across the rest of 2021? For now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com. Joined, that's not even the usual outro for the podcast, but screw it, we'll keep going. This has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
I'm going to go and play some games on Game Pass now. And then on PS Now afterwards.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.